With the, so the, we do the Pesukim and the Mitzudos. Let's do Rashi. I'll read the Pesukim again very quickly. Just to get back into the swing of things, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph begins, Vayhi B'shnas, it was B'shnas, Arba Lid Dor Yovesh HaMelech, it was the fourth year of Dor Yovesh HaMelech, this Dor Yovesh HaParsi, the son of Esther, Hoyi Dvar Hashem El Zecharia, B'Arba L'Chodesh HaTashil, B'Kislev, it was the fourth day of Kislev, the ninth month is Kislev, it was the fourth day, and Hashem spoke to him, and Hashem is coming to tell him an answer to a question. What was the question? The question was sent from the people that Tzadikim living in Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, to Zechariah, regarding the question, should they observe Tisha B'Av? Should they fast now in the era of the Bayis Sheni, now that the Bayis Sheni has been rebuilt? By Yishlach Beis El, they sent to Beis El. Where exactly is Beis El? It's not clear because there are many Beis Els. Okay, there are many Bet Els. There are many Beis Els.
So the name of a person. Ibn Ezra says that this is a name of a person.
Name of a person. Interesting. Husar, right. So Ibn Ezra, who's Shame Saru, Misore Yisrael. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Okay. Very good. The Mitzudos David does not make any comment on this. Okay. Excellent. Okay, Ibn Ezra says name of a person. They sent Vayishlach, who sent name of a person? These were people living in Bavel. Number one, his name was Beis El. Number two was Shar Etzer. Number three was Veregem Melech. Regem, the king. Who is the king? What king is there? What kind of king are we dealing with over here? I don't know. We have to see. Let's hold back on that. Okay, Veregem Melech. He must have been some type of king, whatever that means. Va'anoshav lechalois. Lechalois means to beseech. It's not a typical word used to express a she'ela, a request. A halachic dilemma is not typically expressed with the word lechalois. Lechalois has a connotation of a prayer. So it's a little bit bizarre. They're coming to ask a halachic question, and it's being sent in the terms of a prayer. Es pnei Hashem leimor el hakoyanim asher lebeis Hashem. They sent the following message, Lamar, to say over. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamar. What does the word Lamar mean? There are two translations. Either means Lamar means saying. Hashem said to Moshe Lamar. This is what Hashem said. The other translation, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lamar, to say over. Hashem spoke to Moshe, giving Moshe instructions to give over these words to the Jewish people. Here in this context, it would appear that the word Lamar is the second interpretation, that these individuals sent a message to Eretz Yisrael, Lamar, to give over, to relay the following question to who? El HaKohanim, Asher Lebeis Hashem Tzvokos, V'el HaNeviim, to the Neviim, Lamar. Again, we have the word Lamar. Lamar, it would appear that the second Lamar is saying. It would appear that in this one, possibly I would hear the word lemar twice. The first lemar would be to give over, to relay the question to select a group of people who are equipped, are knowledgeable in answering this question. And the second lemar is exactly what the question is. Ha'evke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, shall I cry on the fifth month? Is it proper to observe Tisha B'Av? Hinozer, shall we separate ourselves from the Ta'anuge Oilam Hazeh? Shall we refrain from bathing? Shall we refrain from eating and drinking? Kasher Osisi, like I have done. Ze Kamo Shonim. Now also, why does it say the word Osisi B'Loshon Yochid? It should say B'Loshon Rabim. Kasher Asisim. Like we have done, all of Klal Yisrael. Why here does it say the word Kasher Asisi? Ze Kameh, Shonim, so many years in the past. There are many diyukim here in the Pasuk. We learned yesterday the basic Mitzvah Stav. Let's now see Rashi. Rashi, Vayishlach Beisel, Shar Etzer.
Pasuk Bet also, it says Vayishlach. It's only one single.
Vayishlach. Even there were many, there were multiple. There was Beisel. Going on each the collective noun, or the collective verb. In this case, it's the collective verb. Okay, going on each one individually or each one as a group. It's either you can say each one, each man to himself, or each one as a group. Vayishlach Beisel was Beisel Shar Etzer Regem Melech. That's three people. Va'anoshav and Vayishlach not Vayishlachu. And here it says Kasher Asisi instead of Kasher Asisim. All right, let's see the Rashi. Rashi says Vayishlach Beisel Shar Sar. I'm sorry. I just noticed the difference between Rashi. I don't know if there's anything. I don't know if there's a typing. This appears to be a typing mistake. Maybe I'm making a mistake. We're learning Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis. Notice in the text. In the text it says with the shin Shar Etzer, with the shin. The dot is on the right side, the top right. Notice in Rashi. Now Rashi ordinarily does not have nekudos. This is a feature, a new feature that has been added to this edition, which is wonderful. But I don't know if this is a mistake. It will appear a mistake over here. They have it with a sin, sar etzer, sar. Okay, the text it says shar etzer, and if you look at as Rav Kalman pointed out, if you look at the Ibn Ezra says shame sarhu. This individual, he was a prince. This person, Basel was a person. He was a sar echad misore Yisrael, shohoyu bebavel, v'kocho, and also sar etzer, v'rege melech. Okay, so he, for some reason, they also have the word with a sin. Everyone has a sin. Maybe there's a mistake in the printed text. Let me ask you, anyone over here?
I have a shin. It's a mikraot gdolot.
You have a shin. Do you have a shin? Does anyone else have another edition? In the text, there's a shin. There's a shin, but for some reason, yeah. In all of the commentaries, on the page, in the art school edition, every single one, they keep on referring to him with a sin. I don't know what's going on. Okay, well, if you say a sar, obviously a sar means that's with a sin. But in the text, it says it with a shin. So maybe we'll come across something. Is the mincha shai? There's no mincha shai on this. I don't know. I have no idea. Let's see. Maybe we'll come across something. Over here in our text, Mecholden, you have the Judaica Press?
Yes.
What do they have in the print, in the text?
No, they're strictly shar etzer.
With the shin, okay.
Sorry. I mean, they don't use nekudos, right. But the English indicates that they read it as shar etzer.
Shar etzer, okay. Because I don't know. The text, it says shar. For some bizarre reason, in all of the commentaries here, Art Scroll has injected the dots that did not appear there, doing, and they put in a sin.
It was a mistake that was replicated over and over again.
It could be. And obviously, the mistake came from that since over here, it comes from being a sar, a master. So somehow, at least Ibn Ezra says something like that.
Spell check didn't catch it.
Whatever. Okay, whatever it is. So here we have Rashi's over here, Vayishlach base El. I mean, you can say El does not Kodesh, obviously. In this context, El is not Kodesh. El means might. Yesh L'El Yodi. There is power to my hand. Lavan Horami. Lavan was anything but holy. And Lavan said, Yesh L'El Yodi. There is power in my hands to do to you harm. So El does not mean, it's not a holy word. It is the word El means, it means power. So here we have base El. In this context, we're assuming now for the moment that it's the name of a person. This person's name was Base El. He lived in Bavel, and he with his friends, Shar Etzer, and Rege Melech, that's some name he got there. Who could be a Melech in Bavel? I don't know. And his friends, they sent L'chalois. Rashi tells us, Anoshim Tzadikim Hayu, these were righteous individuals. V'sholchu mi-Bavel L'k'roi Vehem. They sent from Bavel to their relatives. Shebe Beisel. So look at Rashi. Look what Rashi over here does. Rashi seems to disagree with the Ibn Ezra. Rashi says that you should really inject into the Pasuk a Lamed. Vayishlach L'Beisel. Because Rashi clearly says they sent to their relatives who were living in Beisel, She be Beisel, Lavoi, that they should go lichalois espnei Hashem b'Yerushalayim ba'adam, make the following request on their behalf. Now, obviously, there is a place called Beis El, which in the Torah we know there's a Beis El. Avraham Avinu, when he traveled, he set up a mizbeach in Beis El. But and today in the modern today there's also a Bet El. And there have been, throughout history, there have been many places in Eretz Yisrael that are called by the name of Bet-El, Basel, however you want to pronounce it.
If I can just inject something, since you mentioned places. In the U.S., there are many places that begin with Beth. And all of them are associated either with Tanakh, places in Tanakh, or places mentioned in the Mishnah, or in the Christian Bible. It's an interesting thing. Any place you can name that starts with Beth.
So Beth is just like, on the Sof, base, like, and they like, just Beth.
Like base Beth, like right, like Bethlehem is base Lechem, Beth Page is base Pagi, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, and so on. Interesting.
So Beth means a bias, a location, a mokim. Okay, so here there's a clear disagreement between the Mitzudas, between the Ibn Ezra and the Rashi. Rashi clearly learns that you have to add a lamed into the text. It's a make-believe lamed. Vayishlach le Beis El. These individuals sent to Beis El. Who are the individuals? The Pasuk says, Shar Etzer and Regem Melech. They were tzaddikim, Vanoshav, they were tzaddikim, they sent to Beis El. Where is Beis El? I don't know. There are many Beis Els in Eretz Yisrael throughout the Jewish, throughout history. And here, during the time of the Bayesheni, when they began to resettle the land, they didn't really seem to be able to take over the whole land in one shot. Obviously, they were very concentrated in one area, I would assume near Yerushalayim. Maybe not, I don't know, but let's leave it with that. Let's go further to Yerushalayim ba'adam, v'lishol me'es ha'koyanim lohidiyam, to Lehoidiyam, to make it known to them, the following question. Im Yivku b'chodesh av, should they fast in chodesh av? Achrei asher chozar habayis lihibonais. Should we still fast now? Pasuk Gimel, hi nozer, lif roish. What is the word nozer? Ki nezir lakim, a parush. To separate ourselves from the ta'anuge, the delights, the enjoyments of this world. Lif roish, min ha'ta'anug bash kasher osisi zesh shivim shana, as we have done for 70 years, ein nezira b'chol makom ela prisha. The word nozir means a parush, a person who refrains from enjoying the good things in this world, l'shem shamayim, to serve Hashem. Okay, let's now take a look at the Radak. Radak, starting off with pasuk beis, pasuk, there is no pasuk aleph, pasuk beis, vayishlach perush, Achar shesholach, v'chein hein ato kotzavto v'necheto, v'yered me'asos hachatos v'adem lohem. He's coming to explain the word v'yishlach here is not to be translated literally. It means after it was sent. This prophecy, Rashi, the Radak is coming to explain the difficulty in the text. The first pasuk tells us that Hashem appeared to Zechariah. There was a vision to Zechariah in the fourth year of Dar Yavesh on this particular date. Then it says Vayishlach. Afterwards it says in Hashem that these people sent. So if you read the psukim at face value, it would imply that the sequence of events was Hashem first appeared to Zechariah and gave him a message, and afterwards the people living in Bavel, they decided to dispatch messengers to Yerushalayim to ask the question. Now wait a minute, it takes a very long time to go from Bavel to Yerushalayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing to Zechariah on this date it cannot possibly be that on this very date, they miraculously sent messengers after Hashem spoke to Zechariah, and they arrived 5 minutes later. Obviously, what the pasuk means to say is that these messengers were sent to Yerushalayim long ago. Let's make believe it takes 3 months to travel from Babel to Yerushalayim. So 3 months ago, messengers were dispatched from Babel to Yerushalayim to ask this question. The question was presented to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim did not know the answer. They didn't know what to say. And now, when they had this dilemma and they were grappling with the dilemma, what to do, now Hashem appears to Zechariah and provides the answer. Now, if you're going to say that's the sequence of events, you have no choice but to say that when it says with Vayishlach, it means this vision took place after these individuals were dispatched and have arrived. But that's not the literal translation. So the Radak says, whoever said you have to translate the words literally, you have to translate the words based on the context of the pasuk. Perush achar shesholach. This vision of Hashem coming to Zechariah and providing the answer to the difficult question occurred after a long story where people had a question, they dispatched messengers, the messengers arrived, they presented the question to the Kohanim were scratching their heads, I don't know, what's the answer? And now, lo and behold, Hashem appears to Zechariah, here is the answer to your question. And he proves this from other psukim where we also do not translate the words literally, but we have to fudge the translation based upon the context of the pasuk. Uperushoi, third line in the Radak, this means to say, achar, shesholach, after the messengers were sent and arrived, hoya dvar Hashem el Zechariah, v'loy zochar mi hoya hasholeach, it does not say who sent. All it says that these people, these two people, were the messengers. It doesn't say they are the ones. They were sent to Beis El. They were sent to Beis El. Who was sent? Well, let's assume like Rashi. These were the messengers. It does not say who was the individual or the people, the names of the people who actually posed the question. The Yesh Mefarshim, period. Now he says a new interpretation. Now he's telling us what the Ibn Ezra says. Not like what Rashi says. Ki Beis El Shem Odom. V'hu sholach min ha'goyla. Oh, now he's giving us a little more clarity here. That's not necessarily what it says in Ibn Ezra. He's saying that Beis El is the name of a person. He didn't come. He was the sender. He was the Meshaleach. Beis El is the one who had the question, and he sent Es Shar Etzer. So, and Rege Melech Va'anoshav Lirusholoyim. Okay, so that's a second interpretation.
It's a funny name, basically.
It sure is. It's sure, and is the name Regem not a funny name? You ever hear? You know of a Regem out there? I know of a. I don't know. I'm not gonna start. I don't know. I've never heard of a name Regem either. Okay, these are new different names. The Hanochoin, the Radak. He says the correct interpretation. Okay, the correct interpretation, in his opinion, is ki beis el kimashmoi. It's a place. It's a location. V'chein tergim yonason. Oh, go to the targum yonason. That's always the ikor. That's what we do at night. We always look. How come at night we learn the targum and by day we don't learn the targum? Because I don't have a sefer for the targum by day. That's the only reason. There's almost nothing available in the targum. There's very little, almost nothing, to really elaborate on the targum. Ushlach of libesa. Look at the targum. The targum means a lamed. The targum indeed adds a lamed into the translation to indicate that the word basil is the name of a location, a place in Eretz Yisrael. Ushlach libesel. The elu hasholchem hoyu bnei hagoyla. The ones who sent. We don't know who sent. It's a mystery who sent. They were people who were living in Golis. They sent. The Omar vayishlach l'shon yochid. That was our question. Why vayishlach? There were many people who sent. Derech klol. The collective verb, that doesn't exist as an expression. There's something called the collective noun. But over here, we're making up a new expression called the collective verb. We're grouping together all of the people. Well, it's not really, Vayichan Sham Yishol Negedar, Vayichan Sham Zoshol, Vayachanu. There is, that's the Rashi in Yisro. Ki'ish Echad B'lev Echad, Vayichan Nat Vayachanu. So that's also the collective verb. There's one, Lushan Yochid, Derech Klal, V'chein Ha'efke Kasher Asisi, does not say Kasher Asisim, V'hashluchim, Hayu, who the shluchim, who the messengers, over here he has a mistake, with Shar Etzer, now with the sin, Shar Etzer, V'regem Melech, V'anoshav, V'regem Melech. What kind of name is that? Adam Sheshmoy Koch. That was his name. Could you imagine your Gaba Yamoy? What's your name? My name is Melech. Melech David. How would you ever hear a guy who his name is Melech David? People who say Mashiach. That we know. People have the name Mashiach.
People named Melech.
Melech. That's true. You're right. I know a Melech. That's right. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Melech. Okay. Adam Sheshmoy Koch. Vehevi anoshim imo v'zehu sh'omar v'anoshov uvol yushlam l'chalois as p'nei Hashem v'sholchu b'yodam b'nei ha'goyle l'shol v'leimor el ha'koyanim v'el ha'nevim ha'efker the question. Pasuk gimel leimor l'beis Hashem k'moy b'beis Hashem. Leimor means saying direct your question to l'beis Hashem b'beis Hashem v'hintik b'yonison dim shamshin b'beis makdashod Hashem. So what he means over here, Lemar Lebeis Hashem, Bebeis Hashem, to ask a question from those people who are located and are serving in the Beis Hashem. Not Lebeis Hashem. Bebeis Hashem means the people that are located in the Beis HaMikdash. And what was the Kriyala HaNeviim? And they also sent to the prophets. Who are the prophets at this time? Haggai, Zechariah, Umalochi, V'yodes Antirgim, Ule Sofraya. The Targum translates the word the Nevi'im. He doesn't want to translate. Very interesting. The Targum does not want to translate the words Nevi'im in the normal meaning. It means the Ule Sofraya, the scribes, the Talmidei Chachamim. This touches upon what we discussed. This is exactly the whole shiur we spent yesterday, half an hour on this, what we discussed yesterday. Are you coming to ask a halachic question or are you coming to ask a hashkafic question? If you're coming to ask a halachic question, you don't go to the prophets. Torah lava shamayim hi. Unless we gave a whole shiur on this yesterday, you want to say that until the nevuah ended, you did ask halachic questions to prophets to get a response from Hashem. And the era of where Torah lava shamayim hi first began with the end of prophecy. And everything that we discussed yesterday is literally rooted here in what the Radak has just taught us. We look over here at the Targum. The Targum was obviously extremely disturbed with this question. What are you coming to ask a halachic question from a prophet? They have no business answering halachic questions. That's not what they do. Torah lava shamayin. And that is why the Targum was bold to translate the word Navi as a soifer, a Talmud Chacham, a scribe. A term used for Talmidei Chachamim, not a term used for a prophet. Oh, but it says in the Pasuk the word Nevi'im. No, it's not the first time that we took a word not literally. We fudged the translation. That's exactly what the Targum here does because obviously because of this question, Torah Laba Shamayimi. Oh, but what about the other commentators? They disagree with the Targum. They hold it means prophets. And that goes back to what we discussed yesterday, that indeed the principle of Torah Laba Shamayimi, he did not necessarily begin At this time, Torah was b'shamayim. You could ask a halachic question from a prophet, from Hashem. Later, when the prophets came to an end, that's when the principle began. Further, ha'efke, what is the question? Shall I cry? Shall I cry? Ki adayim lo hayu ma'aminim bebinyan habayis. Now, this is an explosive statement. These words over here, he's coming over here to really open up this sugya wide. The reason why they asked the question was an insight into their thinking. They didn't believe that this is really the real deal. They were not ma'aminim. Ki adayin lo hayu ma'aminim b'bina bayis b'bnei ha'ovim shehishbisu es ha'molacha kama shanim. They didn't believe in it. They didn't really want to accept that this is the aschalta de gula. Okay, this they don't want to accept that the Bayis Sheni is the beginning of the Gula is here, and now we have to stop us. Tisha B'Av is over because look, we are surrounded by enemies, and look, they've made trouble. They actually stopped the construction. The Atah now, Afal Pi Sheshamu Ki Hoyu Boinim Habayis, even though they heard that Daryovesh HaParsi, the son of Esther, has granted permission and they have begun construction, here are explosive words. Kitane Amona. Hayu Kitane Amona. He's coming here, the Radak, to say something extremely critical. Extremely critical. These people were Kitane Amona. They lacked faith. They lacked faith. V'lo hoyuretzim la'lois mi'bavel. The proof is in the pudding. They did not want to come. They did not want to come up to ascend. Now, before we even go further, these words are glaringly striking after we've learned Rashi. Because Rashi said, read Rashi, now we get an appreciation of what Rashi is doing. Every time Rashi says something, we know this from we learn at night, Unculus, Rashi is not just saying words in a vacuum. Rashi, every single word of Rashi is always a response to something that he saw somewhere else. He saw either mainly in Unculus, and sometimes not only Unculus, he saw these and other commentaries that he saw. It's a response. Rashi's first words are Anoshim Tzadikim. These were righteous people. You don't call a person who's Kitane Amono a tzaddik, because what does it say in the pasuk? Tzaddik be'emunoso yichya. The essence of a tzaddik is a maimon. Tzaddik be'emunoso yichya. So when Rashi says Anoshim Tzadikim, he's clearly coming to reject an idea. The Radak came after Rashi, but an idea that obviously Rashi was aware of, that there were other commentators that wanted to learn that these individuals were Kitane Amona, and that's why they asked the question, and Rashi flatly rejects that they were not Kitane Amona, Tzadik be'munoso yichye, they were Tzadikim.
Noach haya Tzadik, and it was also Mikitane Amona.
Oh, so you're saying that's the machlokes. Midoraisav. Midoraisav. Yeish darshim l'shevach.
But the Torah said, Ish tzadik haya.
Right,
but the
right.
The Torah said, Ish tzadik. And then he entered the Mabul. Mipnei mea Mabul.
Kitane Amon haya. All right, so you're saying that just because you're a tzadik doesn't mean you're Baal Amunah. Oh, but it says in the Pasuk, Tzadik be'emunoso yichya. Yeah, you have Amunah, but not enough. You have Kitani Amona. To be Mikitani Amona makes you into a tzaddik.
Yeah.
It's an idea. I hear what you're saying. It's a madrega to be a Kitani Amona is a tzaddik. Because unfortunately, people have no emuna. They're not even in the category of a katan. They have zero emuna. So to have at least a little emuna, oh, you're already called a tzaddik. I hear what you're saying. But the pashas over here is that there's a disagreement between Rashi and the Radak as to the nature of these people. Are they Balei Maimin, or are they, or we're calling over here in a negative term, Kitane Amona? Let's go further. They asked the question, Im Yatsumu B'tisha Ba'ov Kumosh Asu Shivim Shana. He nazer makar, the word he nazer, makar means this is a root word, because the word nazir is really what he's saying. The word nazir is a she'ela. She'ela means to borrow. Every single time you have a word, it's either in two categories. It's either called a makar, or it's she'ela. Makar means the real definition of the word, and she'ela means it's not the real definition. It's borrowed. A person who's called a nazir, ki nazir elokim. That's really a she'ela, because we identify a nazir as a holy person. A nazir is a holy person. No, but what does the word nazir really mean? A parush. He's not allowed to drink wine. He's not allowed to contaminate to the dead. He's not allowed to cut his hair. That's the real meaning of the word. But the way we look at it in our minds, you say the word nazir, it brings up a feeling, a holy person, a person who's coming close to Hashem. So that's a she'ela. That is a term which means, makar means the real meaning of the word. Yeah.
Even the form of a question, it's odd, because he nazir? It should be maybe, I don't know. I can't think of a way.
He nazir.
form.
I don't know grammar well enough, but he was there.
Call it a makar, to call it an infinitive, I don't see that either. It sounds more like zivui.
No. I'm not talking about the binyan. I'm talking about the definition. When I say makar, I'm talking about the way the definition of the word. The word,
but
was,
because of the way it's written, it's ambiguous as to its meaning.
No, not necessarily. Shall we separate? He knows there. Shall we be a parish? Shall
so
we?
So the way I see it, the question is it that they're asking, should we change the status quo or right. should we keep the status quo?
Correct.
But, there is like hishamer, hishamer benega hazarat, lehishamer. Hishamer.
But when he says to the word makar, what he means to say is it's not a she'ela. The word makar is in contrast to she'ela, borrowed. Many times, more often than not, in Tanakh, a word is used not literally. A word is used, it's borrowed to bring out, it's translated not in its literal sense. Here, makar means we're going to translate the word the way it was meant to be translated, which means, shall we separate? Separate from what? From eating, from drinking, from bathing on Tisha B'Av, because that's what you do on Tisha B'Av. He nazer mokar. I lost the place. Im enozer. Shall I separate? Mi ma'achol, umi mishte, umi ta'anug. The yoina son tirgim, ha em na nafshi. Shall I deny my neshama, mi taf nukin, from tainug, from delight, from enjoyment. Same idea. Okay, so this is the question. This is the Radak. Now let's now go to the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk starts on Pasuk Aleph in the previous page. Pasuk Aleph.
Before you get there, I was curious why wouldn't they say that Beisel is the Beis Din of.
No, not the Beis Din. Not the Bezdin. What do you say is the Bezdin? Beisel means a local place.
But
it's a city.
In my head, that's what I interpret. That's who would send. Those are the people who would send a shliach. It wouldn't be an individual to send a shliach. We know that we were set up already in Bavel. We had yeshivas. We had Makom.
Okay, you're saying a new idea. I hear what you're saying. You're saying a new idea that we have not saw yet in the commentators. That you're saying that Vayishlach Beisel means the Bezdin. The Beis Din of Bavel, okay, the RCA of Bavel, okay, the RCA, the Beis Din of Bavel, they sent a message through Shar Etzer, Rege Melech Vanoshav to Eretz Yisrael to ask the question. I like that pshat, I really do. You say that Beisel is an authority, not an individual, a corporation, the OU, or the Agudas Yisrael of America, or the Eda HaChredis, whoever you want to say, they sent a message through these individuals to Eretz Yisrael to ask a question. Excellent. It's a gevaldik pshat. Maybe we'll find a mefarish. And if not, then we will make a new column in this edition for Mark's comment. Okay. We will add your haros over here. But so far, what we learned over here is we learned that Vayishlach.
Don't call it Mark, and people might confuse it with one of the apostles.
Beisel, so far we learned Beisel refers to a person, an individual by the name of Beisel, a bizarre name, or he was part of the people that actually traveled. Or we can learn that by another interpretation of Vayishlach, Beis, he didn't travel. He was the only one who asked this question, and he stayed home, and he sent these other fellows to ask the question. Or Vayishlach, Beisel is not a person. Beisel is a destination. They sent the people that we're going to read in the Pasuk, they sent to the city of Bethel, where there were people currently living in Eretz Yisrael, and the people in Bethel were asked to now go to Yerushalayim, brave the gridlock traffic, and go to Yerushalayim and come to the Beis HaMikdash, make an appointment with the chief rabbi, and ask him this question, what should we do? So we have over here already had three or four perushim as who, what is this word, Basel? You're right. It's a very interesting word. Two words. Let's see the Malbim. The Malbim says Vayishlach Vayishlach, back on page 771. Vayihi Bishnas Arba Le Dor Yovesh Ki Hechazoyin Asher Niftach Lechagai Lizchaya Bishnas Shtaim Le Dor Yovesh Be'esh Echelu Bebin Abayis Nistam Be'oisa Shonu V'Leimotzu Chazoyin Me'Hashem Oid. He's giving us some background. We learned already before. We learned so far. We didn't learn Chagai, but we learned Chagai. Okay, we learned other prophecies in the beginning of the Sefer, Chagai and Zechariah. It was in the second year of Dor Yovesh. Now we're fast forwarding to year number four, and there, that's when they began to actually do the construction. Now we're 2 years ahead. That was Be'eshe Echelu, they began being a Bais Nistam Be'eshe Shana. That year, the prophecy was Nistam. It's like this week's Rashi, the first Rashi, Parashas Vayechi. Why is it Parashas Vayechi a Parashas Stuma? Because Kevon Shemes Yaakov Avinu Nistamu Einayim V'Libam Shel Yisrael Ki Lo Hoya Oso Eis HaMiyoad Shetoshuv Hashchino V'Nevuah LiYisrael. And in the second year of Dor Yovesh, when he gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, it was pretty swift. As soon as he became king, he gave permission. Still, the Shekhinah did not return. There was still no prophecy. Then, Ulam B'Shnas Arba, Bo Elof HaDibor, Al Pisiba Sheyesaper, and now, in the fourth year, 2 years later, the Shekhinah returned. Why did it return? Over here, the Malbim is teaching us a very beautiful thing. Because they wanted the Shekhinah. If you don't want, it's not going to happen. That's always the rule about everything in life. If you don't, you have to want. If you want, then you'll get the Siyata Deshmaya. If you're not going to want, don't expect Hashem to send you a helicopter and tell you to save you from your problems. You have to want to be saved. If you want to be saved, then Hashem will send in the troops. If you don't want to be saved, Hashem's not going to do anything for you. Here, the people, l'chalois. This comes to answer the question that we started with today. If you're coming to ask a halachic question, you don't use the word l'chalois. The word l'chalois is not the correct word when you pose a halachic question to a rabbi. You go to ask him a question, a she'ela. You don't come to a rabbi, l'chalois. I have a question. What bracha do I make on licorice? L'chalois p'nei harav. Lehoidia, Leda, if you make a shahakola bar mine mezonos. You don't use the expression lechalois on a halacha question. Why are we using it over here? The answer is there was much more in the question than just to know the halacha. The people here had a yearning, a stirring in their heart to return to do teshuvah, to come close to Hashem. And thus, that yearning, that awakening is what allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to return, to reveal himself with prophecy to Zechariah. Because there was a dry spell. There was no prophecy for a long time.
Right. If you look in the table in the back, you can see that gap, which is, of course, the Nevuah did not exist in Golos, at least among these folks. So now you see the timeline reemerges at this point, at the beginning of Reconstruction.
But there had to be a lechalois. Let's go further.
By the way, we see right away, it says lechalot pnei Hashem. It's not lishol sheila.
That's the problem.
It's lishol et Hashem. Who needs it? Navi.
But the problem is when we read a few more words, the question is a halacha question, to the point where even the Targum himself changed the word Navi to a Sefer. So that's all part of that, as we discussed yesterday. So what's going on over here? The answer is obviously it's not just a halacha question. There is a yearning, a stirring for the Shekhinah to return to Klal Yisrael. And there is a disappointment that this is not the way we expected it. We expected it to be miracles, and there are no miracles. We're struggling just to survive, to get the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Let's go further. So here he said, let's read, okay. The second to last line on this page, Amar Hoy Dvar Hashem, Shenigla, Elov, Dvar Hashem, Asher, Kuvar Posak, Hashem now returned. Now, we turn to the next page. We turn to page 773, Pasik, Beis, and Gimel. Yishlach, Vasibel, Zehoyaki. Why did this whole thing come about? Yeah. Now the Pasik is coming to give us the background to this entire story. Vayishlach, Vasibel, Zehoyaki, Shar Etzer, Veregemelech, Anoshim, Nodoim, Mibavel. These were well known, famous people in Bavel. Sholchul Beisel, he learns clear that the word le, the lamed, is the ed lamed le Beisel, and he says hainu le Beis HaMikdash, a new interpretation. As I said to you before, what Beisel? What are you talking about? They're living in Ephrat. Come on, what Beisel are we talking to? We talking about over here? How many? There are so many Beisels. Wherever you turn, there's another Beisel. You read Chumash. Beisel, Beisel, Beisel. You look on the Israeli map. There's Beisel. You get an email. Another Beisel. I can't keep track of all the base cells. What base cell are we talking about over here? So over here, the Malbim says, I also don't know what we're talking about over here. So it must be there's only one base cell, the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, Pshutoi Kimashmo, is the base of Kel, the house of Hashem. Now, does that mean the El here is holy? Not likely. Not likely. Never heard anyone say Bet Kel. Never heard that before. But it is interesting that he's saying over here, Beis El, and he learns it refers to the house of Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, which would be a little questionable. What then is when the Sofer, when he writes El, does he have to have Kavana that this is a Shem Kodesh? I don't know. Shalchu LeBeis El, Hayri LeBeis HaMikdash, L'chalois Espnei Hashem. And also it makes sense, because the next words, L'chalois, means to pray. You don't send to Ephrat a kvittel. You send to the Beis HaMikdash a kvittel. Right, so if he's sitting over here, if it says the fact that it says over here lechalois, this enhances what the Malbim is saying, that the Beis El refers they're sending le, the destination is the Beis HaMikdash. Es lechalois pri Hashem shi uroi.
I think the most important part of the what our grammar tells us over here, the word Beis El, it's hyphenated with the word Beis, and there's no trup on Beis. If it were Shem Hashem, suppose, you know, if it were even that at all, base would
good
have
point.
A truck.
Excellent. You wouldn't go and leave Hashem without a truck. Excellent, right? Is
it
never
would be base,
right.
Kale.
Is there ever a time in the entire Tanakh, or at least in Chumash, where Hashem's name does not get its own separate truck? Is there such a thing?
Well, here you have it, Kale.
Okay, no, that's the proof. That would be the proof that it's not. But right, Yudkei Vavkei. Let's talk about Yudkei Vavkei and Elohim. Because that only refers to
Hashem. For sure, it's
never.
To have a truck.
No yeah. Such thing where it's connected what's that bar called on top? I always forget. Not the mess. The messig is a little on the bottom. The hyphen. Mayor once told me, he reminds me what that means, that hyphen on top, whatever it's called. So is there ever such a thing where you connect Hashem's name to another word and don't give it? No, not. So he's saying, very good. Hashem, you wouldn't dare deny Hashem his own melody, his own Tameh HaMikra. So therefore, over here you have Beisel, it's connected with that line on top. Obviously, it means that it is a... It's choil. Choil. It's not. It just means power. It doesn't mean.
So what do you have? Yeah. I'm sorry, but they disagree with myself. But I see in the next pasuk it says Asher Leveis Hashem Yudkei Vavkei. It's also hyphenated.
Oh so, no! But the difference
no,
is
I know, I know.
The difference. No, but the very important. The difference is, oh, the trump is on Hashem.
Yeah.
Oh, but here also, the base L, the trouble is on L, is on L, not on base.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I just got it. All right, okay.
I said I'm disagreeing with myself, but
okay, so you do see that Hashem, okay. But Hashem, when you have two words together, Hashem's name is the one that gets the trouble. The other word doesn't get the trouble.
Yeah, never.
Hashem gets the trouble. All right, let's go further. Shulchu lebeisav v'chayim lebeisav v'lis v'chalus v'snei Hashem shi'uroi. Shi'ur means the explanation, the measurement. The measurement, which means the explanation, that's a word that the Malm uses, is lechalois es p'nei Hashem le'emor elakoyanim levakech es Hashem, to make a request from Hashem shi'ofia ruachot she'oi b'apam Hashem should, the request according to the Malm is that Hashem should reappear, Hashem should return, the Shekhinah should return, the idea el sakoyanim v'es hanevim v'es the idea el Hashem should make himself known, el hakoyanim, the el hanevim, leimor, tahainu, shem yuchal leimor hateshuva al hashelas. An amazing translation of the words. The request is, this is unbelievable, there's no, who would ever imagine to translate the words in such a way. This is unique to the Malbim. He says over here that v'anashav l'chalois, send a kvittel, send a team of people to go to the Beis HaMikdash to pray. And what should the prayer? The prayer should be l'chalois, es p'nei Hashem, pray before Hashem, leimor, that Hashem should be the one who will speak. Hashem, you Hashem, should come out of hiding, should come down to this world and communicate. El ha-koyhanim, asher l'beis Hashem tzivokas, the el ha-nevim. So he is translating the word lemar. This is what the request is. This is the nusach ha-tefilah. Until now, we've been learning, lemar means give over the following message. We are coming from Bavel, and there's a message, and the message shall be presented to the Kohanim who are in the Beis HaMikdash, to the Levim. No, that's not what the Malbim, that's not the translation. We're not sending people to the Kohanim and the Levim. We're sending a contingent of people to go to the Kohanim HaMaravi, to be Mespalel. Who cares about the Kohanim and the Levim? That's not what we're going. We're not going to make an appointment with them. We're not coming to make an appointment with them. We're coming to send them to the Kotel. And what are they being told to do? They're being told to pray to Hashem. Hashem, you don't need an appointment. And what is the nusach of the tefillah? Hashem, we ask you, lemar, you, Hashem, should communicate with the Kohanim and with the Nevi'im by means of resting upon them your divine presence, so they will have the knowledge how to deal with us, how to go forward in the binyan of the Bayis Sheni. Tahainu Shehem Yuchal Lamar. Well, did I translate it correctly? Let's see. L'chalos Pnei Hashem Lamar. Go back up two lines. L'chalos Pnei Hashem Lamar Elakoyhanim. I said it correctly. Levakesh Es Hashem, to seek from Hashem, sheyafia ruach kodshei oirapam v'yodia, he should make himself known elakoyanim v'elanavim. Then it says, word lemor a second time in the pasuk, that the koyahanim and the levim shall have now the knowledge, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with them, then they will have the knowledge to communicate with us. Lemor, the hainu shehem yuchal lemor hatashuva al hasheila ha'evke b'chodesh ha'chamishi hi nozer. Okay, that's how we learn Shah in the Pasuk. The prayer is, Hashem, please communicate with the Kohanim and Levim so that they will have that knowledge so they can in turn speak to us and communicate with us and answer our dilemma if we should fast on Tisha B'Av. Mash l'sho'alu al yesra ha'tzaymas, question. This is what the Mitzudos David asked as well. Why did they only ask a question regarding Tisha B'Av? Why did they not ask a question regarding the other three fast days? Ki al tzaym ha'shevihi al harigas gedalia loy nistap kuklal. Why not? Ki atzoy mazeh ba mibnei she'oz necharav yishuv ha'aretz shehishir nivuzar adan tachas yad gedalia. This happened because, let's review the whole story. This incredible thing that he
Rabbi,
says.
Rabbi, and excuse me, the says, but who had been called Dalit Simeis, that he did. They were asking about all the other Baal Simeons as well as Tisha B'Av.
We're learning now the Malbim. We're learning right now. We're learning with the Malbim. Yesterday, we learned the Mitzudos that says he asked all the Tzaymas. And we learned Rashi, and we learned the Radak. Correct. Right now.
I thought you said that
the Mitzudos David said that he asked all four. He just explained why they focused on Tisha B'Av. because it's the most chomor. It's the most chomor. Who had in the other tzoymas? The Radak is saying an incredible chiddush, which has ramifications in the world of halacha, and he's saying, no, they're only asking about Tisha B'Av. They're not asking about Tzom Gedalia. Why not? Because the nature of Tzom Gedalia and the other two fasts, we'll see in a moment, is fundamentally different. Tzom Gedalia is all about Yishuv Haaretz. And we're saying over here something very, 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 very delicate, because on Tisha B'Av, in the Kinois, it's not Mashma what he says. Let's see further. One more, let's see. Why is there a fast called Tzom Gedalia? Gedalia ben Achikim was murdered by Yishmael ben Nesanya. Yishmael ben Nesanya was a Jew. He was a jealous Jew. He wanted to be the president. He wanted to be the governor of Yerushalayim after the Chumash HaMikdash. And his rival was Gedalia ben Achikam. And Nebuchadnezzar appointed, or Nebuzaradan, the chief executioner, he appointed Gedalia ben Achikam to be the governor. And Yishmael ben Nesanya was jealous. And the Ammonim were spying. They had spies all throughout the land, and they knew the politics. They interfered. So they propped him up, and they assisted him by supplying him with intelligence and with weapons and with what he needed in order to assassinate his rival. Yishmael ben Nesanya would not have been able on his own to rig the election. He needed the help of Russia and China. That's really what it's all about. Yishmael ben Nesanya would not have been able to assassinate Gedalia. He needed the assistance of another state, the state of Ammon. Ammon had spies, Ammon had resources, had men on the ground, and they helped him assassinate Gedalia ben Achikam for their own purposes. And when that occurred, all of the survivors living in Yerushalayim were terrified, because they knew that when Nebuzaradan and Nebuchadnezzar would find out that one of their own had murdered the governor that had been appointed by Nebuzaradan and Nebuchadnezzar, they believed that they would, that Nebuzaradan and Nebuchadnezzar would return and kill them all. So what did they do? Every last one of them picked up themselves. They fled to the safest place in the world at that time was United States. No, it wasn't the United States. It was Egypt. They fled to Egypt. And Yirmiyahu Hanavi was screaming, don't go to Egypt. I'm telling you in the name of Hashem, stay put. You will be okay. Nothing will happen to you. He's not going to come back and kill you. He's not going to harm you. Nothing's going to happen. And they did not listen. And because they did not listen, they were cursed. He cursed them. Now, because you flee, he'll kill you. And indeed, a couple of years later, when Nebuzaradan went and he made his rounds in the Middle East, and he came to Egypt, and he conquered Egypt, and he came across these Jews. What are you doing here? Oh, you are the missing Jews who fled from Yerushalayim.
I'm so happy that you don't have Kiddush, because
who fled from Yerushalayim. Oh, I've been wondering where you people are, where you fellows are. And then he tortured them and murdered them. So this is a horrible event. And here he presents a little small part of the history of Tzom Gedalia. And he says, after he murdered and exiled the vast majority of the Jewish people in Yerushalayim, he left over in the land Gedalia, under his authority, Midalas Ha'am, from the poorest people, the people from the lowest social status, lechormim, to work the vines, to tend to the vineyards, uli yoigvim, the wine presses, the ali de harikas Gedalia, and through the assassination of Gedalia, they were terrified. Baruchum and Aretz, they fled, and there was no living person in the land for 52 years. The Achar now, look what the Malbum says. This is very, very powerful stuff. Sha'ata now, Hushav Yishuv Aretz al Mechoinoi, has been restored. The people have come back. There are people living here. Kevon Sheshavu Kitsas Kemispar Shahoya Im Gedalia. Now that people have returned, look what he writes here. Ein mokoim latsoim hazeh. There is absolutely no need to fast anymore. This fast has expired. This fast is over. Ulam. So therefore, that wasn't a shaila. So what about the other two fast days? Ashivas b'Tammuz and Asar b'Teves and Tisha B'Av. Ulam al hashloisha atzoma shachoyu b'avur korban ha'ir v'abayis aleihem shoalu. The question was asked, Im habayis hanivne ato, ye gadol b'chvoidoy b'chvod habayis hakoydem, will the new bayis be as glorious as the old bayis? Uvot el tam atzoim, and there's no need for those fast days, oilo or not. Ulechein shalu al, now, and if that's the case, so then the Pasuk at least should have mentioned three of the four fast days. The al, ulechein shalu al tzoim hachamishi, on Tisha B'Av, which occurs in the fifth month, because that was a clever question. If the answer will be that there's no need to fast on Tisha B'Av, certainly there's no need to fast on Asara B'Teves and Shavasa B'Tamos. Kol Shchein B'Riv Yassiri, V'his Oiru Al Sheila Hazois B'Dal B'Kislev. And by the way, what would happen then? That implies that what would happen if they would say you do have to fast, that I guess all the same. It's all the same. If we have to fast for Tisha B'Av, so I guess certainly we have to fast for the other two. Or is it a certainty or not? But if we don't have to fast for the Beis HaMikdash, so the understanding was certainly we do not need to fast for the other two. But one thing we do take out of this before we go further is a very unique approach to the Dalet Soimas that I've never seen anywhere before. Never seen this anywhere before, is that the Malbim is making a distinction between three of the four fast days and the fourth fast day. Tzom Gedalia, he puts in a category by itself. And that category refers to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Tisha B'Av, Asara B'Teves, and Shavasta B'Tamuz is what he calls the ear, the city of Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash. So today, let's ask a question today. Why do we still then fast, according to the Radak, even as a custom, Tzom Gedalia? You'll say today, well, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, right? So that's a given, right? So they don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. So therefore, there's a minog to fast Tisha B'Av. And part of the Beis HaMikdash, you could argue, is the city. Because you need, when there's the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, then there's Kedusha in Yerushalayim. Kadoshim, many of the laws of Kadoshim relate to the walls of Yerushalayim. So it's all really connected. And if the breaching of the walls and the siege of Yerushalayim is all part of the Beis HaMikdash, okay, we can understand today why we have a minhag to fast. But why today then do we continue to observe the custom of Tzom Gedalia when he's telling us that Tzom Gedalia does not relate to the Mikdash and the city which the Mikdash is found, but to the general principle of occupying, of living, it's not a nice word, of living in the land, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Today, you're not going to say there's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Today, there are 7 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, what he's saying is not so simple, lahalacha. Obviously, we don't paskin like this. And what is the proof that we don't paskin like this? What is the absolute proof that we don't do this? Because on Tisha B'Av, a major chunk of the kinos is devoted not just to the Beis HaMikdash, it's to Eretz Yisrael. The proof is, look at the last, all of the kinos at the end, the tzioins, but all the kinos, there's a whole collection. I've got how many now? There are nine. There are nine tzioins. They're exactly nine tzioins. So those nine tzioins, what are they all about? What does it say? It doesn't talk about the Beis HaMikdash. All of the nine tzioins to speak about the beauty and the milos of Eretz Yisrael, not about the Beis HaMikdash and the korbanos. So if the fact that that's what we observe, we mourn, and we express Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that goes to show that today we are still mourning over Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So then, even if you accept what the Radak says, that Tzom Gedalia is in its own category, that its focus is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and not the Beis HaMikdash, the fact that on Tisha B'Av every year we do focus on Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even though 7 billion people are living in the land, is an indication that when we do come to the day that's miyuchud for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to the Radak, it is appropriate to fast. Because if you're going to say that since there are 7 million people living in the land, there's no need to have a Tzom Gedalia, then we should cut out at least 9 of the kinois that we recite on Tisha B'Av. Okay, but
Rabbi, you probably see the next pasuk. I'm sure you saw the next pasuk that says Uvashvi, and it's David says we do fast Tzom Gedalia kishkul and mitzvah tzaddik and kislev is beis Hashem. That's what he says in the next pasuk.
Okay, that's another idea.
That's another idea.
But the Radak now, we didn't get to that. Right now, the Radak is working with an entirely different principle. He's not talking about mitzvah tzaddikim. He's talking about this incredible principle of differentiating Tzom Gedalia from the other three fasts in exclusively looking at Tzom Gedalia in relation to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I never heard this before, because again, when you learn about Tisha B'Av, there are many different elements that come together. There is the Golos HaShechina, there's the Beis HaMikdash, there's Yerushalayim, and a central theme of Tisha B'Av is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which means the whole Eretz Yisrael. Forget about the Beis HaMikdash. That is a major, major theme of Tisha B'Av in the Nusach, in the Avelos of Tisha B'Av, the way at least we practice it today. And the Radak is saying, no, you know, your focus is wrong. You have the wrong, at least what he says over here. That's Tzom Gedalia, not Tisha B'Av. Obviously, we don't accept, you know, we don't follow what he says here, lehalocha, but it's something very powerful to appreciate.
I think something here. The fact that they ask Hashem, that's number one, lechalot pnei Hashem, and the whole question here on Tisha B'Av, they wanted to know if this Beit HaMikdash, the new one, has the same value as the first one. It's not as big as whatever, but is it
sanctity?
The exile is over or not? It means we have a Beit HaMikdash. This is what they want to know. It's not halachi. That's why they want to ask Hashem, tell us.
L'chalois.
Are you value this place?
Right. It's not a halachic question. You very much want to disassociate this she'ela with the world of halacha. This is a hashkafic question. What is the value? Absolutely. And the halacha memeila follows. The halacha is secondary. Absolutely. Let's run. I want to finish. Let's finish this piece. It's late. Let's finish this piece before I finish. V'soiru eshe'ela hazoyz b'dal b'kislev l'man yedu eich hisanik b'taynes yud. The question was asked on day four, on the fourth day of Kislev, l'man yedu eich hisanik b'taynes yud teves. Okay, because they want to know what to do on Asara b'teves. Asara b'teves is coming up in a month and 6 days. It was the fourth day of Kislev. They have 1 month and 6 days. Habacharav, v'hem shalu bein al habichi. So they're really asking. Look what he's doing over here. They're asking about Tisha B'Av, but they really want to know about Asar B'Teves. That's what he says. They're asking, the question was the Tzom HaChamishi. And what's the calendar date? The pasuk begins. It was the fourth day of Kislev. Oh, wait a minute. There's another fast day. There are another two fast days before you get to the Tzom HaChamishi. There's the Tzom HaAsiri and the Tzom HaRevi'i. That's right. Whatever you are going to answer us regarding the Tzom HaChamishi, we will know what to do in a month and 6 days from now in the Tzom HaAsiri and then in the Tzom HaRevi'i. V'hem shalu al ben al b'chir yoshu al avar. They asked him, they all on the past, Bein ala tzoyim sha'al, Bein ala, Vehem sholu bein ala b'chi, Shu'al ha'ovar, Bein ala tzoyim sha'al, ala tzoyim, regarding the crying that they did in the past, and fasting, Sha'al ze'omru, Hino zer. what's the unusual word of Hinozer? It includes everything. Shehu levakesh tefila v'sachanunim al he'osid, which refers to tefila. In other words, he seems to be saying over here is he's look not what Rashi in the Mitzvot and Radak said. He seems to say the word Hinozer refers to prayer. They want to ask, there are really three elements they're coming to ask. Number one, do we have to fast? Number two, do we cry? Number three, do we pray for the future? And each one is independent. It may very well be that the prophets will tell us, pray a yom tefillah, but you don't have to fast. You don't have to cry. Because fasting and crying is for the past. At least crying is for the past. Prayer is for the future. Hinozer is the future tense. It seems that the Malbim we hear is saying something very different than everyone else. Everyone else, they lump everything together. Should we observe status quo, like Michal said? Should we observe the status quo? It's Tisha B'Av. You do on Tisha B'Av whatever you do on Tisha B'Av. Is that the question? Or is the question no? We have a question, because he's really right, he breaks it up. He says over here, Ha'efkeh, should we cry? Crying is the past. And then Machodesh HaChamishi, and then he asks the question, Hinozer. That's a hard word to translate, and that's why all of the Mefarshim here, they struggle. And the way the Malbim seems to learn is, shall we be holy people? Like, no, a she'ela. We're not going to say it's a makor, like the Radak. We're going to say it's a she'ela. The word over here means, shall we become like a Nazirim? Holy people, shall we pray? Shall we institute a Yom Tefillah on this day, praying for the future? Fasting, crying and fasting, that's a separate question. One is not dependent on the other. He's making a lot. The Malbim over here is reading a lot of ideas into these words. The Heim, if you go back, we'll go back one line. The Heim Shalu Bein Ala Bechi Shehu Al He'ovar. That's our Evke. Bein Ala Tzoim and fasting. So he seems to say that the fasting, I told you it's three. It's two. Crying is for the past. But soim, when you dive into Hashem, it's accompanied by fasting. But the fasting, the davening, is not crying. It's a different type of davening when you're davening for the future than when you're mourning over the past. Two main requests. Shall we cry for the past, period? Number two, second question, independent question. They're not dependent on one on the other. Shall we devote this day as a day of tefillah for the future? Period. Okay, let's finish up over there, Abarbanel. Ukvar Be'er Harav, Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. Shasholu Zoyz Ubnei Shoya HaBayis HaZeh Kodin. We had something very similar in the Radak. Because this bias was Kodin Be'en Ayem. Ibnei Shiva Devarim. There are seven things that are lacking. Aleph, number one. Sherohu Shlo Shava Boy Ashkina Lushkoim Kavod Kaboy Bayis Rishon. There was no Shechina. V'chamisha Devarim Chosu Bayis HaSheni. He groups together the five things that are mentioned in the Gemara into the first thing. The Shechina did not return. And when the Shechina does not return, we're missing those five things. Beis. She'etach ha'as v'shus malchei poras. The authority is the Persians. The yodim pen yigorshum she'nis menaris. They'll be driven out a second time. Number three. L'fi shaloha yikibutz kololi v'lo yishavu ha'nidochem bi'arbekan v'saritz. This was not a kibbutz kololi. Only selective people came back. People did not come back from Ethiopia. They did not come back from Russia. They did not come back from Argentina. Only from America they came. Only a few people here and there came. They didn't come from all over the world. So this came to the Geula. Dalit. Sharosh and Iskal Haaretz Veleshavale Sana. Unbelievable what he says. The earth was cursed. The earth was cursed. You can't make a parnasa. There's no parnasa in the land. The earth is not producing produce. Vizel Simon Shleshava Hashkocha Shama Kavrishoina. Hey, Sharosh Shem Lovaz Velecherba Beno Amim. A whole new principle that they're despised. They're despised in the land. The world hates us. The world and the United Nations, they just taunt us and curse us. Six. It's occupied by people who don't belong there. The Kusim took over the land. They don't have a melech. Wow. So the Malm over here says, he brings over here the Barbanel. This is amazing Barbanel. He makes a massive, incredible assessment. By the way, it's so clear as day. Every single thing that we learned today, every single letter and every single dot that we learned today, you can say exactly the same thing about Eretz Yisrael after the Holocaust. Literally, word for word. Every single little thing. On the one hand, there's the Aschalta de Geula. Can't deny it. There's a renaissance, a rebirth, there's a return. There are things that are happening that are lamala miderech hateva. But mitzad sheni, every single thing, every single complaint is the same. And this is the big dilemma. History repeats itself word for word. Literally, you can take this and you can write about this today. If they would write, they'll write about these exact words when the Mashiach will come, looking back, exactly these same words. It's like you take out a newspaper and you read what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Literally nothing changed in 30 years. Egypt did this, and Saudi Arabia did this, and this one did this, and this one did this, and this Palestinian did this. Like the news is just regurgitated. The same exact thing. I could take out for you today a paper from 30 years ago and read it to you, and I guarantee you will tell me, oh, you're telling me what happened yesterday in Eretz Yisrael. And you all know it's true. And yet, when it comes to the Aschal de Gul, it's the same thing as well. Problem is, we don't learn from our mistakes. Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. I want to continue to discuss the laws of Shabbos. I want to talk about today, Dosh and Lush.
Hello.
Yeah.
I wanted to just say one thing about the word base kale. There is one time when it's not hyphenated. I looked in Vayishlach where it has base ale many times after the Maisa Dina. And when it says Vayisumi base ale, it's separate from the word base and it has a trup on base and a base. Otherwise, Kol HaTorah Kula in Lech Lecha, and in Vayishlach, where it's constant, it's hyphenated word without a trup on base. One time there's a trup on base when after he Yaakov officially gives it the name, then it says Vayisumi Be'eskel. All right, that's the only time I see. It's interesting because, and so I went where I figured the person who is going to comment on it, which is the Malbim, because he always comments on things like this, that there's a difference there. And he says, because when it's a name of a place, it's just Basel without, you know, it's Chulin. But now he realized that it's, this was because Kisham Niglo Elecho Elokim, that this is where God came to him, same as Abraham. It's base El. It's the house of where he experienced God. He had the Nevuah. There he makes a point of saying it's a separate trup on the word base.
Okay.
So he gives a little information there. All right, but I looked at the other Mepharshim, but I knew I ran to the Malbim because he likes to make these, he likes to look at comments like that. Okay, anyhow, that's it.
Very good. Yashar Koyach. Excellent. I don't know how you're able to go through all the base cells. That's pretty swift. You go through in your mind. All right, be back 1 second.